This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
All right, it's day whatever of the zombie apocalypse, man, and I've been holding it together, I think, pretty well up until just recently, and it really is Taco Bell to fuck that money up. Like, how you gonna offer an entire free meal and then not be prepared for the traffic? Like, of all the shit that's going crazy right now, I figured some free garbage-ass tacos would be an easy win, but leave it to Taco Bell to drop the ball. Yeah, man, y'all the straw that broke the camel's back. I blame you for this.
What is TWS Podcast, episode whatever, who cares at this point?
The ransom, the vindicated.
It's my podcast, and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, right? We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS Podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch, and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn.
Pac on the mic in his prime. They only care about a nigga when he writing a rhyme. What? Kenny Lofton, you feeling my pace? They only care about a nigga when he's still in the bass. It's like I'm whipped still, I'm fucking them all. They only care about a nigga when he dunking the ball, man. And to break my heart, world stage, I just play my part. Just caught fire like a young Richard Pryor with unforgettable quotes.
They only care about a nigga when he telling the jokes. All right, once again, I'm singing. I swear to God, I changed that intro music like 6 times this week. Like, yeah, I couldn't decide on the song, but I fucks with that one. So we're going to run with that one. Welcome to the What Is TWS Podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flan, representing the White Pants Society. And I do thank you for lending me your ear and your time. You could be anywhere else in the world but here, but you decided to spend your time with me. Many thanks. With that said, fuck Taco Bell. Like seriously, man. Was I the only one that got caught up in that fiasco with the app and the free chalupa box? I didn't even know what a chalupa was. Man, but yeah, man. They had the crashed website, and the broken app. Like, they had no idea the frenzy that would be created by a practically free meal offer. Like, you offered up a straight up full-on meal for free and didn't think like everybody was gonna jump on that shit. Like, how would you not prepare for that? And it pissed me off more than usual because I don't even eat Taco Bell. Like, I'm not a Taco Bell. Like, Taco Bell is the bottom rung of the fast food ladder, in my opinion. Like, it's the worst of the worst. I don't necessarily do Taco Bell, and I know that sounds like mad bougie, but it's the truth. Like, I don't fuck with Taco Bell. And that night I was home and I was on my like saving money grind. Like, I'm serious about like not just wasting money on bullshit. And I was cooking. I had food in the oven. And, you know, it was brought to my attention that there was an opportunity to get like this $5 chalupa box for free. And my roommates was going to make the trip. They was heading out there. So I felt like, you know, I felt we needed to be unified in our pursuit of, like, I don't know, garbage ass tacos, the only way I can describe it. I felt like it'd be a good bonding moment for us to go take this trip to get these free tacos. And there was a part of me that was like, how bougie do you have to be to turn down free? Like, it's free. Like, at the worst, I could get it. And if they wanted extra, I could, you know, like, you could have my box or whatever. But so we go make this trip, and look, I ain't even going to go into like all the details of the excursion that it turned into to try to get these tacos. But we ended up dealing with, like, you know, angry managers and, you know, an app that was constantly crashing and couldn't get the orders put in and couldn't find a Taco Bell that still had chalupas at the time that we was trying to get the chalupas. And maybe that's our fault. We waited too late, but you said the offer was good until like 11:59, so took your word for it. Long story short, we got the chalupa box, and it was garbage, but it was, you know, I mean, like, I don't know, it was free, and it wasn't It wasn't horrible for free. But what it did allow me to point out, and this sounds like I'm like on my soapbox again, but it reminded me about the whole like value of information discussion. Because, yeah, I mean, this was a clear indication that at least in Taco Bell, I don't know how much they allotted for these, for this free food. I know it wasn't worth $5, and I'm not sure what it's worth in totality anyway. Like, it just, garbage has tacos. But anyway, I didn't even know what a chalupa was, but I guess, anyway, but whatever the cost of this, they was willing to take that hit in, you know, food cost or whatever, to gather information. Like, they got, you had to sign up for the app or whatever, or sign up for like a Taco Bell membership. I don't know what the fuck you signed up for. But you had to sign, you had to give them some information to get a, you know, a login on this app in order to then go to a Taco Bell and place your order for this free box. And, so obviously, you know, your information was that value. They was willing to take this hit and offer a free meal for an entire day, you know, with the only thing that you had to do was give them some information. That shows you the value of information, people. We actually, in that moment, traded our information for currency. Like your date of birth and your email address was worth, let's just call it $5 to Taco Bell. It should say something. So I'm always weary about like free information, because it's like free money. Like, you know, there's a catch. You know, there's a catch. But anyway, like I know I'm like, and I'm not on the soapbox with the information thing, because I'm fucked when it comes to that. I got Alexa and Google in my room, like at the same time talking to everybody, listening. They got all my shit. Like, I don't know. God did not give me a spirit of fear. Now, I don't want to use religion that way, but you know, like, I don't know, you give people a problem for long enough with no solution to it and they just accept it. I guess I'm in that acceptance phase. Like, they got me and whatever. Like, I'm trying to say like the craziest shit I can think of to see if people just show up. Like, I haven't said the things that I think would definitely get the folks to show up at the door, but I'm close. I'm getting there. I ain't gonna say it on the show though. But yeah, man, like Taco Bell was the straw that broke the camel's back, man. I really been feeling like going off this week. The state of the world in general, just fuck, man. Like, I hate this shit. Like, it, I go from, I was at a meeting earlier today, and somebody described themselves as being like always half angry. And like, I feel like that's where I'm at right now. Like, I'm always like 50% angry. And I just need that one little thing to push me over, you know, push me over the edge. And then I'm 100% angry and we can go. And that's how I feel, you know, every day waking up and seeing the things that we see on the news and social media. And, you know, there's a new clip of Karen, Susan, whatever you want to call those people these days. I mean, it's just something new every day, man. And it's really like forcing me to face some of the coping mechanisms that I used to have. Let me say, I still have in my addiction. I really want to, like, it upsets me to the point that I want to detach. Like, I want to disappear. Like, I want to just leave it all and go find a space to be away from all the shit and like turn a blind eye to it. I want to not care, because I'm so angry and so hurt all the time that I just don't want to feel any of that anymore. And like, in the past, my coping mechanisms for situations like that would be to leave, to detach, and to go numb myself. You know, go find substances to numb myself. And I'm trying not to do that today. The whole situation is kind of reminding me of something that my mother used to tell me all the time. And again, shouts to mom. She don't think any of it got through, but obviously some of it did, because I'm always like repeating some shit. That whole God did not give me a spirit of fear, that's from moms. That's something she used to tell me all the time as a kid when I would be, you know, when I'd be in my shy mode and like worried about trying to do something or asking somebody for something, you know, God did not give you a spirit of fear. I don't even know the whole verse. Like, I'm fucking it up. Sorry, mama, but that does ring in my head all the time. But another thing she used to tell me, is that, you know, like, bad men or evil, whatever, it thrives when good men do nothing. And that hit me this week, is that, like, I'm seeing a lot of stuff. I'm seeing a lot of things that I'm seeing people say things that I think are bullshit. I'm seeing a lot of, you know, baseless claims and false accusations. And I've said before that I feel like we live in this information age where if you say something with enough confidence, like, it just gets accepted as it's true. Like, I don't, you know, I wasn't thinking that before he said it, and I don't know enough to refute it, but he seemed dead serious, so it must have some validity to it. And so I feel like I can't, like, sit back and offer no alternative point of view if I have one. If the stuff is upsetting me to this point, then I obviously think differently. And I need to check, you know, where that's coming from. Like, am I just opposed to the information because it is different than what my view of the world is? Am I opposed to the information because it's truly false? Do I have the evidence that it's false? And then, like, I'm doing a disservice to people I say I care about if I sit back and I don't say shit. So, I wrote a whole paper on this whole, like, all right, I didn't write the paper. My mother wrote the paper. Long story. But, I wrote a paper on, like, the Jonestown massacre. And if you're not familiar with Jonestown, look it up. I don't want to say it's interesting. It's tragic. But that was a situation where there was something going on, and people were aware of it, and people were asking for help, and people were reaching out and trying to get some action. And because, you know, people who knew better, who understood the danger in the situation, weren't quick enough to act, didn't want to, I don't know, make a decisive decision on what needed to be done about the situation, that a tragedy occurred. So, by the time they did something, it was way too late, and we lost a lot of lives. And that to me is the cost of sitting on your hands. It's not saying that, you know, anybody's about to die from shit that that I haven't said as of yet, but there's a cost to sitting on your hands. And so today, today I'm gonna not sit on my hands. Like, I don't know. I'm gonna take my hands from under my ass. I don't, you know. You see what I'm trying to say. So let's get to it. Like, the elephant in the room these days is the divide in this country. You know, we just went through the 4th of July, Independence Day, and that definitely felt like a divisive day where there was going to be judgment whether or not you did or did not celebrate the day. You know, I got text messages from people and friends with the happy 4th of July. I didn't even know how to respond to most of them. I felt some kind of way about, like, just being in this hole, like, oh, yay, you know, Independence Day. And I also felt some kind of way about, like, taking that from them, you know. So I think the majority of the messages that I sent back were more like, I don't know, enjoy, shit like that. Like, you know, it's cool. Like, do you kind of thing. And not really expressing my viewpoint on it. But, you know, that kind of shows just how far apart, you know, we are right now. And I know I'm not young enough, I'm not old enough for this to mean anything, but I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen people, like, really not have any, you know, any space that they agree on in a situation. Like, I really have never experienced anything like this. And I don't know that any of us have. It's crazy. It really is. It really is crazy. My homie, a good friend of mine, and I consider him a good friend. I don't know how much longer I'm going to consider him a good friend, but my homie Apple Juice, he's been on the show, AJ. Man, he was, you know, he was hitting me up this week to like come on the show. He wanted to have a conversation about what he perceives as the myth of white privilege and why these protest things are overkill. He seems to have to be dead set to prove to me that this is all bullshit. It's a conversation he initiates with me. I don't ever reach out to him like, look at what your folks are doing or whatever. Like, he's always like, man, look at this. And I did this research. I'm like, all right, dude, like, I don't know why it is you feel the need to discredit the thing to me. Like, I'm not protesting in front of your door, and I'm not beating you down to make you feel bad about anything. You know, you sound threatened, you sound guilty, but whatever. So it was actually him that I was talking to before I started recording last week's episode. And I was saying I was getting into it with somebody on Facebook, and I needed a break. And that's why last week was just about bullshit and AI and relationships and stuff like that. Coconut sparkling water. Anyway. Yeah, so I got all geared up to do this show. Like, I really thought it was necessary. I thought it was a good idea for us to have this conversation. I got mad geared up to do it. I was doing a lot of research, and that in itself is depressing, you know. Cause you see two things. You see the rhetoric and the shit that is spewed from the other side, you know, and that's, a lot of it is hurtful. A lot of it is upsetting. And then when you have to go get the receipts to prove, you know, what has happened, what is happening, what people are aware of when they're pretending like they're not, that information is also depressing. Like, to come face to face with, this is the truth of what's happened. This is actually happening, and this is actually happened, and these people were very much aware of it. It all that shit hurts, and I'm not gonna go into too much of it because I still want to have that conversation with you, Juice. You went silent midweek on me. I need you. Where's that energy, bro? You had all that energy last week. I need that energy because the world needs to hear me. Have you in here and have this conversation. I got time for you today. You're not going to frustrate me and piss me off today. I'm not going to throw none of my nice shit at you. I'm going to have to put this, I'm going to have to put this bowling pin away though, cause that could become a weapon. But now, yeah. So, you know, he backed down from that. And so I don't want to go into too much of that because I need that stuff to be like responses to the shit he says. If I bring it up now, it's going to change the conversation that we could have had. And I think it's more effective when it's used as a response to the rhetoric. So I'm gonna hold on to some of that. But there were some other things that came up, and those things I kind of do want to address. And so he, as usual on this show, this is the point where I get into trouble. So I want to talk a little bit about Black Lives Matter, right? It's the fact that it's a controversial thing to me is that's strange and it's upsetting, but I think there's a lot of misunderstanding. I I'm speaking for me. I'm trying to use a lot of I statements. I'm trying to not do some of the things I talked about on the J. Cole episode. I'm gonna try. People, work with me. God ain't finished with me yet. My Steve Harvey shit. But to me, you know, Black Lives Matter is a phrase. It's a statement. I think a lot of times it automatically flips to the organizational. People try to flip it to the organization because it's easier to take shots at the organization than it is to take shots at the statement. And believe that somehow if you can discredit the organization, then you do something to the validity of the statement. And I think the two are exclusive. Like, one does not necessarily validate or invalidate the other. So I'm going to talk first from the viewpoint of Black Lives Matter as just a statement. Because I think a lot of people that you hear say it or chant it, even for that matter, do not identify themselves as a part of any organization. They are making a statement. And, it is to me, the fact that it's controversial bothers me because it is, to me, the most simplistic and efficient way to express what people are trying to say. Like, and I've said this, like, matter is the bare minimum of consideration that anybody should have to ask for, you know. And to just be asking to matter, like, that has to say something. I thought about this, like, if my daughter was to come to me, because we've heard all of the different, like, memes and variations on the Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter, but not to go there, but if my daughter was to come to me and was to ask me, you know, Daddy, do I matter to you? I'd be hurt, and I'd be hurt for two reasons. I'd be hurt that, you know, my daughter wasn't sure if she mattered to me. And then I'd also be hurt that, you know, the things that obviously I'm not doing enough to show her, you know, that she does. And so definitely my response wouldn't be, everybody matters. My response would be, you know, trying to make sure and reassure my daughter that she matters. Not only does she matters to me, but she's extremely valuable and she's loved and she's cared about. And then, you know, we have this situation in this country where you have a group of people who are, and we're not asking if we matter. We're just trying to hammer home the point that it's fact, that in case you forgot, in case you're unaware, we matter. And there's no only in front of that, and there's no more at the end of that. It's just matter. All right. But you have a group of people that feel that way. And the country's responding. These are the people we are a part of this country. We help build this country. We function in this country. You know, we receive benefits from being citizens, and the country receives benefits from having us as citizens. You know, it's not a one way. It's a give situation. And you have this group of people that feel this kind of way, and the response is like, "How dare you?" Not yes. You know, even when my conversations with Juice, like I couldn't get him to say the words. Like, I could say Black Lives Matter, and he, of course they do. Like, can you say it? For some reason, that seemed like a line in the sand he couldn't cross. And that's crazy to me. Like, I couldn't get him to see that. That's not weird to you, that those, that saying those words somehow feels like, you know, something that you shouldn't do. Even if you're saying to me it's a sentiment that you agree with, you can't repeat it. Like, that's not odd. That's not weird. That don't strike you as something is off. And so, yeah, like that. So that's my point when it comes to the phrase. Is that there is no, stop adding shit to it. All right. See, now I'm doing what I said not to do, but please don't add things to it. I don't know. Like, don't add things to it. It is the most simplistic and efficient way to try to get this point across. It is simply saying that Black lives have value, as much value as everyone else. And constitutionally, you know, that's a statement that this country should agree with wholeheartedly. You know, we find these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and have been endowed by their creator with unalienable rights. You know, to say that because we're a part of mankind, we have value and we have equal value, then you recognize that value in protecting the rights. And that takes me to, like, my next part of this, because I've seen a lot of people. I saw someone specifically in the White Pants Society Facebook group post something that was like a black lady going off about Black people supporting the Black Lives Matter movement, or specifically Black Christians supporting the Black Lives Matter movement, when the Black Lives Matter as an organization supports, like, the LGBTQA community. All right, side note, can we no diss, like, can we figure out a way to, like, can we streamline that a little bit? Like, can we get an acronym or something? You know, is there a U we could figure out how to fit in there so we could do something with that Q, make a word out of it? I don't know. Like, just the amount of letters is, I think the amount of letters is getting somewhat excessive. It's getting difficult to, like, make sure I include all of them when I say it. And it would just benefit us all if we could find an easier way to say it. I'm going to continue to say it. It's not, you know, it's not that hard to do. I'm just saying, like, don't hate me. I digress. But basically, you know, like, how could Black Christians support an organization that seems to be supporting, you know, these rights or equality for this community? And again, I think, you know, for me, it goes back to what the movement, or what the phrase, and then I'm putting the sentiment that I have for the phrase on the organization, and then also based off their mission statement, because I had to read that a couple times this week because of other things that happened. But you know, trying to say that the requirement for value in this country, in the world, basically, you know, the threshold is just being a human being, being created. Being created by God, you know.
They're valuable because they've been created by God. God makes you valuable.
You know, like that's the threshold. That's the requirement. That's the standard that you have to meet, and that's it. Like, after we get there, there should be no further discussion about anything else, in terms of whether or not this individual has value and deserves to have their rights protected. So, are you a human being? You're a life. You're alive. You were created. You know, I don't even, you know, I'm talking to religious stuff because this was specifically geared toward, like, Black Christians supporting the organization. But yeah, you were created by God. That's a baseline. You're valuable. I don't have to agree with you. I don't have to like you. I don't have to want to be friends with you. I don't have to hang out with you. I don't have to invite you to dinner. I don't have to believe in what you believe. I don't have to believe in what you believe. Being okay, I can think that it's wrong for you to believe what you believe. I can think it's wrong for you to do what you do. None of that takes away from you already meeting the standard of being a human being, therefore having value, and by extension, having rights. And that is what this fight is about. That is what this fight is about: human rights, not religious rights, not gender rights. It's just human rights for everybody. And we have to specify Black because we feel like we're in a situation right now where that's a group that we may have, that the country may have forgotten fits under the banner of all for some reason. Like your response is always all. We just trying to make sure you know that all includes Black. You know, and the fact that you just can't say the words, like, that is so strange to me, that you cannot say the words. Like, you can allude to making statements that would say the same thing, but you can't say those specific words. And it's very three words, very simple: Black Lives Matter. Like, it's not a whole lot of wiggle room in there for there to be some weird meaning to it. Like, it's very streamlined and simplistic. Super crazy to me. But yeah, and I saw that post in the group, and I legitimately thought about, like, deleting it. I didn't think it vibed with, like, the harmonious kumbaya kind of shit that I'd be trying to build. And then, you know, I didn't want to do the censorship. You know, I'm all about, like, the disagreement without disrespect. So I felt like I needed to let it rock. And, you know, if people wanted to say what they wanted to say about it, you know, as long as everybody kept it cool, I'd leave it up there. Nobody commented on it. I should have commented on it. I should have at least offer, and this is what this episode is an attempt to do, is, like, just to offer an alternative, you know, to the narrative, to the viewpoint. If I see something out there that I don't agree with, and, you know, I just let it exist on its own with no opposition, then, you know, that's not showing a lot of care for my fellow man. I'd let them just have this idea unopposed. You know, maybe just give them an alternative, let you make your decision. But that's what I'm trying to do with this episode. Then, like, to take it even further, because it's really getting to me the amount of, like, it's getting to me the amount of black people that are finding ways to attack this situation or this movement. And it's not even so much like that as a black person, you just gotta be for this. Like, no, nah. If you disagree, you disagree. But when you disagree and you use bullshit methods to make your, you know, to make your point, like, that to me isn't cool. That to me, it seems like you disagreeing for other purposes. Like, you muddy in the waters just to, I don't know, just for views or likes, or I don't know what it is. Like, you know, people are going to respond to a black person that's against, you know, Black Lives Matter or against certain things specifically, you know, not to, to make it weird, but specifically, the Marcellus Wiley thing upset me. Marcellus Wiley, former NFL player, or whatever, he's on ESPN or one of the sports networks. And, during one of his shows, they were asked about the NBA planning to, you know, paint Black Lives Matter on the court during this restart. And he was against it. And he mentioned his argument for being against it was, again, going to the Black Lives Matter mission statement. And he pulled two pieces of the statement, of the mission statement out that he said jumped out to him. And he mentioned them as attacks on the family and attacks on, you know, he talked about being a father and being a husband and how important that was and how he couldn't reconcile getting behind this group with the language that's in their mission statement and how anti-family it is and how, you know, how destructive it sounded. And he used, you know, two pieces of their mission statement. One being, we dismantle the patriarchal practice. And the other is, we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. Now, what I'm going to say about those, and that was he used as the basis of his argument against, the Black Lives Matter movement or any being, you know, painted on the court that was, you know, that it was going to be divisive, and polarizing, and we need to be more careful about, like, the umbrellas that we get under. You know, we think it represents one thing, but it could represent something completely different. Now, what makes that argument a bullshit argument to me, what angered me about it, is that if you look at those two pieces that he pulled out of the Black Lives Matter mission statement, those are fractions of a sentence. Like, those aren't even complete sentences. Not only are they the two statements from two different paragraphs in the mission statement, so they don't go one after the other, you know, not saying that he said they did, but the way it was presented, you might think that they did. But they're not even complete thought. Like, a sentence is a complete thought. So if you don't give me the whole sentence, you don't even give me the complete thought. You don't give me the full idea. That to me seems like you are trying to not represent the whole concept. You're trying just to represent a piece of the concept, a piece that sounds like it fits your narrative. You're perverting or twisting the information to fit your narrative. And that upsets me. You know, so if I could just read to you the full statement, and I won't even go with what comes before. I'm just going to read, I'll just read the whole sentence. So, we dismantle the patriarchal practice that requires mothers to work double shifts so that they can mother in private, even as they participate in public justice work. So the vast majority of the sentence was left out. We dismantle the patriarchal practice that requires, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was so much more to that thought. And then the other one, we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. Like, do you see how clear a misrepresentation of that mission statement those things were? And when you try to fact check it, you can't say that no, those two that verbiage is not in the mission statement, that know that shit is not there. Yes, it clearly is there, but that's not the whole. And so now you have to have this argument about, you know, semantics and meaning and intention and stuff like that. You have to defend something that was never said, but it was presented that way. You know, to me, what I got from it was that, yeah, they want to eliminate the idea that by somehow not coming from a traditional family structure, which a lot of us don't, that gives people the ability to devalue you, that somehow you lose your value, or you're not as valuable as someone who does come from that, or that does have that, because your family structure doesn't meet, and let me use the right words, the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. There's a lot of comment about Black Lives Matter being Marxist, and I'm not a poli-sci guy. I don't know a whole bunch about Marxism. What I do know is that I don't think we hear the word Marxism and understand it for what it is, and then because we understand it for what it is, see it as dangerous. We hear the word Marxism and it doesn't sound like capitalism or democracy, and so something must be wrong with it. You know, it's a little like xenophobia. Like it don't sound right. Or if somebody says it in a way that's like, oh, but they're Marxists. Like if you don't know what Marxism is, you're like, oh shit, they Marxist. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the same thing with the George Soros thing. Like, George Soros, the whole idea that George Soros funds, Black Lives Matter, which seems to be true. He funds a organization that funds, you know, that has donated and given money, to Black Lives Matter. It's not their only source of funding. We don't talk about the celebrities and things like that have also donated to Black Lives Matter. It's just not, this is run by George Soros, but they say it like I really had this idea in my head that George Soros is like Senator Palpatine or something. Like he gotta be this evil, horrible motherfucker. Like, as soon as like, I'm scared to Google him because I don't want them to think that I'm somehow attached to George Soros, because it seemed like just saying his name is like, oh shit, like this motherfucker. Like that seemed to be like, that should be the reaction. Like, you know, Black Lives Matter is funded by George Soros. Oh no, not George Soros. Like, and I had no idea who the dude was. No idea. And I ain't gonna go into who he is. I'll say that in the limited research that I did, like, we seem to not like a lot of the same people. You know, we seem to not like a lot of the same people. We seem to be against a lot of the same things. And I kept looking for like the smoking gun or the thing that was going to be like, oh, this is why, you know. But it's like a lot of the people that hate him and that view him as an enemy to America and an enemy to a lot of things are the same people that say other dumb shit I don't agree with. And a lot of things that he says or seems to stand behind, and the people he seems to be against, or a lot of the same people I seem to be against. So if you have, and here's a sincere plea for information. If you have the information that will help me understand why George Soros or his organization having something to do with Black Lives Matter is a negative thing, I looked for it. I looked for it. And either I'm not reading correctly or I'm not finding the right sources. Please don't respond with that. Do your own research. Like, I hate that shit. Like, if you got the information and I'm sincerely seeking it, I'm asking nicely, like, please educate me. At this point, I'm in a state of ignorance and I'm looking to get out of it. And I tried to do it on my own and I'm still where I'm at. So if I'm in the wrong place, help me figure out where the right place is supposed to be. But again, this is the struggle I have on a daily basis. Like, just all this fucking information and having to sort through it and figure out what's bullshit and what's not bullshit and what's the motivation behind somebody spreading bullshit. And it's maddening, man. It's fucking maddening. But I feel like if I sat back and I didn't say nothing and I pretended like, man, yeah, if you run with that, then that's your thing. And let me just provide an alternative. Let me also say this. Since I'm on a rant, we passed 30 minutes at this point. NFL, appreciate you for, doing the whole, like, y'all plan to sing the Black National Anthem. That's, you know, appreciate it. Not what we asked for, but I can see the intention. It's nice. NBA, wanting to paint Black Lives Matter half court, you know, great show of, solidarity and being, you know, in support and behind us, you know, appreciate it. Not what we asked for, but appreciate it. The actors that are giving up their voice actor roles for animated characters that nobody really knew was voiced by white people, even though they're Black characters. I guess I get it. I don't know. I feel like you could have kept your job. Wasn't on the agenda. Wasn't something anybody was protesting about. It really had nothing to do with the issue. Is what the pattern seems like is like, we'll get like, you know, stop killing us. How about we paint shit on half court? I bet. But stop killing us. Okay, we're going to sing the Black National Anthem before the game. Okay, but stop killing us. All right, we're going to make sure that these black animated characters are voiced by Black people. All cool. But stop killing. Like, it's like you're willing to do everything but address the actual situation that people are upset and angry over. And I said, so I just, this whole thing with the meaningless gesture, and it's not meaningless. That's the anger talking. I'm frustrated and I'm irritated, but, it's like, yeah, let's do the thing. Like, pay attention to what we're asking for. Cause then people get mad. That's another thing that happens with Black Lives Matter and just Black people in general. Then we face a backlash because people on the other side are upset that you did this thing. Like, people will be upset about the Black National Anthem being played before football games. Like, we asked for that. No, motherfucker, we didn't. I really could give a shit. Like, you know, I'm not. I appreciate the gesture. Let me be thankful. Let me be grateful. I appreciate the gesture, but it is not what anybody is fighting for. Nobody protested to get the NFL to sing, lift every voice and sing before the game. Nobody protested for that. It wasn't on a single sign that I saw. I didn't see a sign, near another chant. None of it. Nobody. Nah. Ain't nobody get upset about what Cleveland. Is that the character that was voiced by a white dude? I didn't see none of that. I ain't seen nobody dressed up in cosplay of Cleveland or no Peter Griffin signs. I ain't seen none of that shit. None of that. But they gonna get mad at us. Like, we took something from them because these organizations have decided to make these gestures that nobody asked for. Nobody. 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 We take it. We take it. But just stop killing us. That's all we ask for. That's it. You know, help us see that you see we have value. Help us. I don't know. All right. So let's, that's why I'm gonna get off my high horse with that. But then more shit happened. More shit that irritated me happened. All right. The Redskins. Here's where I get into trouble. Okay. So I'm from DC, born and raised a Redskin fan. Will always be a Redskin fan. I love, when I came to love sports and to love football, the Redskins were a good team and they were my team. And, I got to meet some of the players as a kid. I have a, you know, it's my organization. They suck. I think I saw a list of like the records of teams over the past decade. And I think you're like third worst in the league, when you look at our combined record over the last 10 seasons, it's a hard life being a Redskins fan. It's not easy. But I am a fan. I always will be a fan. I got a Redskin jacket hanging up in my closet right now. I don't have no jerseys because I really don't do a lot of public support. That shit's hard. But and I live in Texas. But yeah, I'm a Redskin fan. And so now, you know, it's been a question for a long time about, you know, whether or not the name is offensive and if it needs to be changed. And I definitely went back and forth and was on the fence with this one. And at this point, I'm for a name change. I'm for a name change for a couple of reasons. One, I really want the stain removed. It is hard being a Redskins fan. It's hard watching sports shows, and they got to refer to them as like the Washington team or the Washington football team, something like that, because people won't even say the name anymore. It sucks. And so I would like that to be over with. And I'm not comparing it or finding any, you know, equivalence in a Confederate flag argument, but I see some similarities. I see some similarities. You know, regardless of the origin of the word or regardless of where the term started, at some point it did get co-opted into a derogatory negative term. My mother's an English teacher. She was explaining to me the other day that language is historical, you know, and it does change and evolve over time. The meaning of words does change and evolve over time. So holding on to the fact that at some point it meant one thing, and then at another point it meant another thing. We can't deny that history. Same way it's a very similar argument to me. To the Confederate flag. It's not equivalent. It don't hold the same weight. But I see the similarities, and we have to face facts that it was a derogatory term. At some point it was. And if that is hurtful to people, then let's change the name. It's a franchise. It's an organization. It shouldn't matter what the organization is named. Like, should be good. Should be able to move forward. If you can't, I get it. I'm ready to get over it. I'm ready to get past it. I'm ready to get a new name and start figuring out, you know, how to get used to saying that instead of Redskins. I'm ready. Progress, people. Let's move forward. Make some change. And I used to be such a, like, I hate change for the sake of change. Like, why everything got to change? But some shit is necessary, though. Can't fight it all, man. Let shit go. Let it go. My daughter will be proud. Then your boy Yeezy. I did whole episodes on Kanye. running for president. I hope it's a joke. I believe it's a joke. Not a joke, but I believe it's like a whim. It's like some shit that he was thinking one night. He's a lot like his buddy, and if he got his phone next to him and he has a thought, it's going to be tweeted. Somebody needs to confiscate his phone. So I'm hoping that that's what it is. I'm hoping that, but this would be his clearest show of support for Trump. Cause we call him a genius all the time. If he's a genius, he knows he ain't gonna win. So he knows the only thing he is a distraction. The only thing he is, you know, a way to split the vote. That's it. And the crazy thing is that if he doesn't do anything with this campaign, like, this is how the world works right now. You only got to say some crazy. You just got to say crazy shit. If you can say something crazy enough, the world will take it where it needs to go. You don't got to follow it with zero action. Just say crazy shit. The fact that he has said that he's running for president, motherfuckers will write him in. Whether he has a campaign or anything, motherfuckers will write him in, and we will see the same bullshit that happened so many years ago. Motherfuckers will write him in. And that's all. That's hot. Can y'all hear the frustration? I'm trying not to be angry and not come across the way I say people come across sometimes. Like, I say this shit out of love. Like, I definitely, it hurts me to watch things be in the situation that they are in now. Like, it really, and that's that's why I want to detach, because I don't want to experience this feeling. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to feel hurt. And if I could stop caring, then I wouldn't hurt. You know, but that's not good for me, and that's not fair to people I say I love. So hanging around, then y'all got to put up with podcasts like this. I'm going to hit the hour mark today. Who gives a fuck? Fuck it, though. Like, if you made it this far, appreciate you rocking with me. Let's switch topics. Let's do something cool for a second. We did have a good moment, even though that moment also made me cringe, and I had to detach from it. But let's talk about Fab versus Jada. I'm going to say going in, like, I posted it on Facebook, and I had a conversation with, you know, we're friends on Facebook, and everybody was just like, Jada gonna wash from Jada. And I was with Jada. I wanted to be like Team Jada, but I don't know. I guess I got a thing for the underdog. And like when everybody was like not giving Fab a shot, I was like, fuck, why are we treating Fab like he, you know, he can't do it? So at the last minute, I went Team Fab. And yeah, he got washed. It was insane. But, you know, I don't know. I think the best meme I saw was like, you know, weed versus liquor. Like Fab might have been high and Jada was clearly drunk. And like, yeah, like that weed vibe is not going to win you a lot of, like, you can't get the crowd with the weed vibe. Like, he was just way too cool and way too relaxed. And Jada was having the time of his life and bringing us along for the journey. It was dope. It was dope until, like, he turned into drunk uncle. And I'm still, like, with my adventures in alcohol, like, when I see somebody at that point, it fucks with me. So I couldn't watch it no more. Like, I felt embarrassed for him. And I don't think he feels embarrassed, but that's where I took it. Because I, you know, PTSD or whatever, like, it took me to places. So I couldn't watch it no more. But up until that point, I was loving it, man. I was loving it. To see him, like, get up and perform verses, and he knows the words to these things. And even the little yellow short set. Hey, rich niggas kill me. But they kill me. I think you got to be in a certain tax bracket to wear that, or it's just not, it don't come across right. It don't come. Fab had the leather pants on or whatever in the summertime. I know he had the song Cold Summer, but it's not cold outside, bro. You leather pants. I don't know. Maybe that had something to do with what was going on. I know the DJ is catching all kinds of flack for the song selection, but I enjoyed that. Man, the only other Versus battle I watched was Erica and Jill. And I enjoyed how that was like a celebration. Like, it wasn't a battle. You know, it was two people that mutually respected their craft and their art and their friendship, like, just having a good time and bringing us along. And for the most part, that's what I felt to Fab. And maybe that's what all the battles are. I haven't watched a lot of them. If I hear a matchup that interests me, then I'll show up. And Jada and Fab, you know, was right up my alley. So I was there for that one. But yeah, it was two dudes that's friends, you know, made records together, made an album together. Yeah. I didn't even realize like how long Jada been in the game. Like, I forget how old I am, and by extension, how old people that, you know, artists and athletes that, you know, I've been following since I was a kid, how old they must be. Yeah. I think, found out that Jada was born in, I felt like we were contemporaries or something, but now he was born in 75, like 6 years older than me. I guess that makes us contemporaries, but 70 versus the 80s. Yeah. He's old. He's old to me. But yeah, man, I love that. That was a good time. I still can't like watch people get insanely drunk. Like, it absolutely fucks with me. Absolutely. But shit, man. It keeps sounding like the mic cuts out. Like, my bad if I had these weird pauses, but it sounded like the mic cuts out. But I don't know, man. If you rock with me this far, you are G. I love you. if you got any comments or anything that I had to say, if you want to add to, I really want to have a discussion, man. I started a Discord server. So I'll probably put the links to that out on, you know, on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere. And maybe we can start having conversations. I'm trying to fill it with content. Like, I don't know the rules to this shit. I'm old, man. It's new shit. I don't think Liker has groups and stuff, but I don't know what you're supposed to do over at Liker. But anyway, yeah, I'd love to have a conversation. I'd love to talk about this stuff. And, I'm trying to come as close to I possibly can, close as I possibly can to the truth. And I don't feel like I can do that alone. Like, I feel like there's information that you guys have out there that I need. And I'm open. I'm open to the discussion. I'm open to talk about it. Cause I don't want to stand behind something that's bullshit. That's not right. You know, but I gotta understand it. And as my closing statement will be, please, 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 now more than ever, fact check everything, especially the stuff that supports your opinion. Because you can discredit your entire argument. You can discredit everything that you've said, that you believe in, that you fought for by co-signing one piece of bullshit. You know, all of a sudden, everything that you ever said can now come into question, and your credibility as a whole can be attacked. So please, 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 more than that, it sucks. It fucking sucks. But more than ever, like, just fact check everything, everything. Like, be wary of free money, free information. A lot of times, information that people give away and throw at you is to serve a narrative. People will make a whole argument off an incomplete sentence. Half a sentence. You can't even finish the sentence. That's some bullshit. All right, anyway, that's off my soapbox. Yep. As usual, hit up my homie Zaya Fitness on Instagram. Cool dude. Definitely into fitness. He can get you right. I'm trying to get there. If you're listening, man, we're gonna work this out. Let me know what the price is. We're gonna work this out. TTcharities.org. If you are watching this stuff and seeing this stuff and as frustrated as I am and just trying to find a way to be of service, to help, to do something rather than sitting on your hands, hit up TTcharities.org. Tavares is my brother. He is passionate about helping, about being of service, about taking care of his people, about being my brother's keeper. So hit up the site, donate what you can, time, money, clothes, books. If it's just a like, a retweet, repost, whatever it is, spread the word. It is definitely a way to help. I don't know. whatistws.com, hit up the website, hit up whatistws on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all them good things. Buy some merch, send me some hate mail, talk some shit, join the group, hit me up on Discord, everywhere you want to be, look for me, I'm there, and I'm ready to have a conversation, and I'm ready to sell you a t-shirt. But with that said, man, yeah, just be safe, be the light, let's rock out for a second. I wanted to do some Dilla, let's rock out.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why the fuck I'm fucking with you. I don't know why the fuck I'm fucking with you. See, I don't know why the fuck I'm fucking with you. See, I don't know why the fuck I'm fucking with you. You could ask my man T. I ain't the to be play like the niggas that used to play for money and no time for acting. With me, you best believe that you won't
do it.
I'm influenced to like, you know, and then I pick up the phone, shit.